Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a weekly faith and values program here on News Talk 1110 WBT that I've been doing now for over 20 years that tries to intersect different aspects of faith and values through the lenses of what's going on in our culture locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the show. Thank you for joining me, folks, on a weekly basis. I've asked my producer and friend Ed Billick again this week to open up his microphone. We've been unable to get guests into the studio, so we have been pontificating and giving insights into different issues that are going on in our world through the lenses of the scripture, through the lenses of faith, and especially through the lenses of hope. I'm commonly known around the area as the hope guy because I really do believe if the sun comes up in the morning, there's always hope. As Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over yet, so we can therefore cling to hope and believe we'll make it through this coronavirus situation. We'll make it through these racial tensions. There is a sunrise on the horizon. And again, if the sun comes up in the morning, there's always hope. Guess what happened this morning, folks? The sun came up. There is always hope. Today, I want to spend this program dealing with the concept of hope rooted into the character of God. Because I believe if you know rightly the character of God, your faith will increase, your love will increase, and your hope will increase. Faith, hope, and love. The great Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 said, those are the only three things that are going to last into eternity. They are the only forever items on this side of heaven. So therefore, if they'll last forever, maybe we should invest our time and energy into those three things, faith, hope, and love. But you can't have those three qualities of life, I think, unless you understand fully the character of God. So today I want to give you insights into the character of God and have an understanding of how that can increase our faith, hope, and love. Good morning, Ed Billick.
Good morning, David. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because last Sunday when we were on the air, you know, the good Lord is in charge. Right around 8:05 Eastern time, our houses shook a little bit, right?
They did indeed.
They shook in here, but we didn't know what to toss away. But you think about that, the good Lord is in charge.
Well, you know that he oversees everything. And if he doesn't oversee everything, he doesn't oversee anything. And if you don't believe that God is sitting on his throne, ruling over his world, I don't know how in the world you can live yet another day. It's either, in my opinion, Christ or chaos. You either have faith in Christ or you have chaos in the world. It's those two choices that confront us every single day. And I'd like to confront the fact that I believe God is on his throne.
Quickly, the definitions of faith, hope, and love.
Yeah, faith is told us in Hebrews 11:1 is the only definition in the Bible. It is the assurance of things not seen, and it is the confidence of things that we hope for. So it is the invisible world that we don't see controlling this visible world. We believe that God is on the throne, that he oversees everything. We can't see that, but we still believe that. Sometimes I cry out to God, especially in this coronavirus situation, you know, why can't you show me more and give me some evidence that I can believe in? And I hear that whisper inside my heart where Jesus said to Thomas, when he wanted evidence, he said, Thomas, you've seen yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. So the Lord wants us to believe when we haven't seen. That's the evidence of faith. And Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that God rewards those who have that kind of faith and those who diligently seek him. So faith is something we need to have. Hope is really the belief that God is on the throne and that everything's moving forward in a providential historical standpoint and that God is working everything together for good. Though we can't see it, we hope for that. And of course, love, the only definition of love in the Bible is found in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. We should do a program, I think, on that alone, Ed. But you know, love's patient. Love's kind. Love isn't jealous, envious, or rude. It doesn't seek its own way. It's not irritable. It's not puffy or proud or touchy. Those kind of things define love. And Jesus said very clearly that the only way the world's going to know that people really do follow him is by the way we love one another. John says God is love, and the love that Jesus pours in our hearts should be evidenced in the world. So all of the hatred and strife we see today, people burning down buildings, you and I were talking before the program began that we both believe in what's called the law of reciprocity. You reap what you sow. If you sow seeds of anger, hatred, lust, that's what you're going to ultimately reap. So the burning down of buildings and the tearing down of people's lives is not fruitful. It is not helpful. And eventually we will have to pay the piper for that kind of evil and hurt in our world. So we've got to conquer this world with the three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And today we're going to center in on that one word, hope. And I believe with all of my heart, hope can increase in our hearts if we know the character of God. So during this program, I'm going to give you three characteristics of God. And if you really claim those characteristics, I think your hope in Him will increase and you can face today with hope, because guess what, folks? The sun came up this morning. There's always hope. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show.
Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere.
Isn't that the call that we all have upon our lives, is to take the love of Jesus, His fragrance, and to spread it to other people? It's really what I think we're all about. And actually, Ed, you reminded me that there's something I do on a daily basis that our listeners might want to have. And that's not only my moment of hope that I do on WBT at 5:40 a.m., beginning Bo's program with a moment of hope, but I also have a written moment of hope that people can get if they want it. Go to momentsofhopechurch.org. That's the church I pastor here in town, momentsofhopechurch.org. And on the website, you can sign up for what's called a daily written Moments of Hope. And last week it was on
love. Yeah. Yes, it was all on all the aspects of love every day. So, you know, as you're getting up in the morning, have your coffee, checking your email, you get a little love note from David.
That's right. If you follow me on Twitter, David Chadwick, you can have those in your inbox at 6:59 every morning, and also in your email inbox as well.
So you go to the website again?
Yeah, momentsofhopechurch.org, and you can get those. I put them out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and it's the purpose of giving people a moment of hope to start their day, because I really believe we've got to have hope in these dark times. We've got to. And in these days when we're living in isolation and we have the problem of isolation sickness, you and I were discussing again on air before we came on together the problem that many families are experiencing today without public schools. They don't have a daycare, and they've got their kids at home, and so what do they do with their jobs? You've also got the continued education that's necessary, especially for vulnerable kids who don't have quite the other things that richer kids have at their disposal in order to move forward. The whole homeschooling movement's taking on new emphasis and impetus. People who don't know how to do homeschooling, though, are sitting there with their hands in the air going, how do I educate my child? I'm not trained to do this. I've never seen anxiety higher than it is right now. So,
yeah, and then, of course, the teaching, of course, then providing the lunches that the schools usually provide. So hunger is becoming a problem. And the down the road kind of things that this virus has caused, this pandemic has caused, is far reaching.
So at some level, we've got to go to our faith, to calm our hearts, to believe that God is on His throne, that He's overseeing all, and that He'll help take care of us in our dire consequences and the things that we are facing on a daily basis. And I believe, Ed, the only way hope really increases in your heart on a daily basis is by trusting in God and believing in Him. And you've got to have an understanding of the right character of God in order for your faith, hope, and love to increase, and especially as we're focusing on hope today. So who is this God that we believe in? And the more you have that kind of faith, the more I think hope increases. Who is God? Well, I want to give three characteristics of God today that would be helpful for our listeners. Should we dare to believe them, I really believe they'll help our hearts become more whole, more secure, and less anxious. And here's the first characteristic that I would say to everyone: God is good. Now, we say that all the time, Lord, you are good and your mercies endure forever. That comes from one of the Psalms. But if you don't believe that God is good at the base part of your faith, in your foundational level, if you don't believe God is good, then you believe the world is in chaos. You believe everything's out of control and you're not sure what's going to happen in the next second. So as your faith increases, it will grow as you believe that God is good. Now, that means that even pain is good, that God uses pain for his purposes and is using it somehow to develop us into deeper followers of him. And I know some of you are out there going, well, wait a minute, David, the pain I've been through, you just can't even imagine it. Yes, I can. First of all, I've been in pastoral ministry for 4 decades, and I've walked through the deepest valleys, the darkest waters with people. You can't even imagine some of the things that I have walked through with people. But on the other hand, I have lived life myself, and I've gone through those deep valleys and dark waters myself. So I've experienced it just like you have. And yet, when going through those things, I've got to ask the question, what is the character of God? Do I believe that God is malevolent and punishing me? Or do I believe God is good, a loving father who has everything under his control and is even using this painful experience for good?
You got to help us with this then. Why does God allow so much bad to happen?
Yeah.
Well, why does God allow evil?
Well, I think that's the question that so many people have wrestled with through the years, through the decades, through the ages. And it's a valid question to ask. If God is good, why is there pain? Well, the first answer, Ed, is that God created us in his image, and we have the ability to choose whether we're going to follow him or not. And God had to make us that way in order for love to exist. You know, for example, with my wife, Marilyn, we've been married now for 42 years, and this wonderful woman loves me, but it's only because she has chosen to love me. Love can't really exist if she's a puppet or an automaton, someone I wind up every day and manipulate, and she walks around going, I love you, David, I love you, David, I love you. Well, that's not love. That, again, is a puppet. So she freely chooses to love me, and that's why I know our love is real. But I also awaken every morning with the reality that she could choose not to love me. But again, love can only exist within the context of human choice. So God created us because he's love. He wanted us to enter into a love relationship with him and to love our neighbors. But he gave us the privilege to choose not to love him. And what we know biblically is that Adam and Eve, our human parents, rebelled against God. They chose not to love God. They chose to try to be God themselves. And when they did, they ushered in this problem of sin, rebellion against God. Sin has permeated every part of God's once originally good created order, and that sin has caused this world not to operate as God originally intended it to operate. So we live in this love relationship with God in a very broken and very fallen world. So here's the question. In that relationship with God, do we believe that even in the pain and the suffering of this broken and fallen world, God is good and is working everything together for good, for his purposes, things we can't even see to this day?
A lot of people ask, David, so why are we here? What is the purpose of life? Why did God put us here?
Well, you know, some of us remember that pop song years ago where this guy sang, I'm just a love machine and I don't work for nobody but you. Well, God created us to be a love machine and to work for nobody but him. We're supposed to be under his lordship and to be recipients of his love and then to give love away to everyone around
us. So then we being tested.
In some ways we are. I think that love gift is being tested all the time. Will I live life on my own terms and be selfish? Will I garner every second for my own means and purposes? Or will I allow the loving God of this universe to pour his love through me to be a fragrance to my neighbor? Jesus said it this way, all of the commandments of the Bible, you know, the Pharisees, the people who lived as the religious leaders during Jesus' day, had taken the Ten Commandments and made them into 613 laws. And they tried to follow everyone exactly all day long. Well, Jesus came along and said to them and to everybody else, let me reduce the 613 to 2. Here it is. love God and love your neighbor. And I love it when people make something simple. That's it. We're love machines. God pours his love in us, and we're supposed to love the people around us. That's why burning down buildings and destroying property and hurting people, it has no place in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is where God rules our hearts. Now, back to the pain. How can God use pain in a good way? Well, you know, the most dangerous place to be in the world is probably a leper colony. They still do exist today. They existed in great abundance during Jesus' day. The problem with leprosy is it dulls your nerve system. And you walk around all day long, and you could put your hand in a fire and never feel the pain and therefore burn your hand off. So the danger of not feeling pain for the leper, and I would say for us as well, is that we can't learn anything in life that will allow us to continue to grow and move forward. So God wants us to feel pain because it's a warning sign. That's not where I want you to go. That's not how I want you to live. And so we use pain as a good thing to help us know more of who God is, his will in our lives, and how we can live for him. So for everybody out there today, as you're going through these difficult times, as you're experiencing these painful moments, and you want to say, God is good? Yes, say that and believe that in the pain of this situation, God's using it to drive you deeper and closer to him. For without that pain, you would surely live life on your own terms, and you'd be like that leper putting your hand in a fire and having it be burned off, and you don't even feel it. It's in that deep, abiding relationship with God where we feel his love, we feel his intimacy, that pain is used to drive us deeper and closer to him.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
And if you believe that, then Romans 8:28 takes on a new focus for you. For God uses all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things means all things, even especially the painful things.
So the first aspect of God, as we're wrapping up this segment, is God is good.
God is good. You've got to cling to that. And you know what? I have a friend who lost two boys in a tragic automobile accident. And he would say all the time, but I cling to the fact that God is good. And I'm going to continue to cling to that fact until I see good come out of this, because it isn't over until it's good, because God is good. I would ask all our listeners to do the same thing. In the pain of the moment, keep clinging to the fact that God is good, and keep believing until you see it's good, because God is good, and if he is good, he's got to show that it's good. That is his very nature. Behold, the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. That is a powerful verse from one of the Psalms. Cling to it, folks. Believe it. Your hope will increase as you believe that God is good. It is the first character of God that we're studying today. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. We're looking at the whole concept of hope during today's show. And if you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear this program from beginning to end. Again, as we deal with hope, because we need hope today like never before. Now, I have people say to me, oh, the times are so tough, the times are so difficult. And one of the things I'm doing with people recently is I'm saying to them, let's go back 100 years ago. Let's remember the Spanish flu. Folks, 60 million died from the Spanish flu. And that's 1918. That's 4 years after the mother of all wars, World War I, ended. And then you came back and had the flapper era and people recovering from the war. And then suddenly in 29, you had the Great Depression. And then people started to come out of the Great Depression, and up rose a maniacal man in Germany named Adolf Hitler. And he began a movement to conquer the world with Nazism, a racial epithet that had all kinds of negative, evil, godless meanings to it. And World War II was fought. We came out of that in 1945, and you know, we started trying to rebuild America, only then to have the Korean War, then to face the ugly Jim Crow laws and segregation and the race riots of the 60s, the Kent State riots, the Chicago problem in 1968. I mean, we've just had one thing after another over the last century. So as bad as this coronavirus is, and as many problems as it's caused. As hurtful and problematic as are the race riots, dear friends, these are the kinds of things that have been going on for decades. And if you just look at the last 100 years alone in America, we've had these kind of things happen over and over again. So when I think about the problems we're going through, I go to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet in the Bible, and I try to get some insights into him. Jeremiah chapter 3 is one of the most fascinating chapters in all of the Bible. If you talk about deep, dark times, go to Jeremiah 3. The Babylonians are coming against the Israelites. They are invading Jerusalem. They're trying to tear down the walls and take the people into captivity. The people are caught behind the walls. There's no food. There's no water. There's even some cannibalization that's going on. It's unbelievably wicked and dark. And listen to these words from the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah Lamentations 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his God's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. By the way, that message says that Jeremiah felt no hope. He was walled in. He just didn't feel like he could escape the problems surrounding him. Then verse 8, even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He didn't feel like God heard his prayers at all. God has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. He just didn't feel like he could walk a straight path, always tripping and falling. I love verse 10. Like a bear lying to wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from my path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. Think about that message, that image, folks, like you're eating rocks. That's what Jeremiah felt like in this problem. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them and my soul is downcast within me. So, Ed Billick, when you hear Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, him describing that condition of his soul, his life, his experience at that moment, what do you think?
So descriptive. Does he have any hope?
Yeah, and the whole point being that does when you compare your problems today with Jeremiah and what he's going through, suddenly they kind of are dwarfed in comparison, and you ask the question, Ed, rightly so, is there any hope? Now, don't forget verse 21. Because verses 1 through 20 and all those desperate situations are followed with verse 21. Jeremiah says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So what is it that Jeremiah calls to mind that brings him hope? He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. So Jeremiah returned to hope because he believed every morning is a new day. So he cried out to the Lord and asked for his love, and the Lord responded to him, great is your faithfulness.
So God is good, and then
God is faithful.
The second aspect, God is faithful.
If you want to increase your faith, folks, and you want your hope to grow, and you want to be able to face this coronavirus and all the other problems surrounding us with hope, you've got to understand the character of God. The first one we talked about in the last segment, God is good. You've got to believe God is good. that in his nature he is good. Though there's evil surrounding us because of our fallenness, because of our rebellion against God, God still is using everything together for good because he is good. Trust him in that. Give him time to work. He is working through all of this, not the least of which is deepening us in him so our dependence upon him is greater. But secondly, not only is God good, God is faithful. That's what Jeremiah is trying to say to us today. God is faithful. So what does faithful mean? Faithful means keeping your promise. You know, Marilyn has kept a promise to me she made 42 years ago that she would love, honor, and be with me all the days of my life until death do us part. I made that same promise. Ed, how long with you and your wife?
38 years now.
You made a promise.
Yes, absolutely.
And she made a promise to you.
And guess who else made a promise to?
To God himself.
Absolutely.
So with God as your witness, and that's why the minister at wedding says, and, you know, do you promise before God and these witnesses, God is the ultimate witness, that you're going to be forever married. You're not going to let all kinds of feelings or all kinds of circumstances change the commitment that you're making to one another.
Will you be faithful?
That's the word. Faithful. Will you continue the promise that you've made to your beloved for the rest of your life, till death do us part? Well, the same thing is God is faithful to us. And interestingly, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and you and I are Christians, Ed, we know that God has made a covenant of faithfulness with our heart. He has said to us, like we do our spouses at our wedding celebrations, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'll abide over you. I'll care for you. And I'll be with you no matter what you may think. And so faithfulness is the belief that things will get better, that the God who has entered into covenant faithfulness with us will give us hope and will make things better. And so we continue to move forward in our future, believing this reality that God is faithful to us. Now, let me give an illustration. Do you remember the 1992 Olympics when there was a runner by the name of Derek Redmond, and he was leading the pack as he came around that final turn and his hamstring snapped? He grabbed the back of his leg and he just fell to the ground. He suddenly got back up, started limping toward the finish line. All the other runners passed him, and out of the stands comes his daddy. His father runs through all the officials and puts his son under his arm, under his head, and he takes him to the finish line, limping, his son crying and weeping. Had a gold medal ready to be grasped, but because of the hamstring tear, he couldn't finish the race. But his daddy put his arm around his shoulder and walked him to the finish line to the uproarious applause, not only of the thousands in the stands, but the millions watching on TV. It was just a dramatic, beautiful moment. Now, what I believe with all of my heart is that's a picture of the Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. When our hamstrings snap and we just don't think we can finish the race, mm-hmm. our Father comes out of the stands and puts us next to him and walks us to the finish line with a loving gesture of, I'm always here for you. I am faithful. I'm going to care for you. I love you so deeply and dearly. And what's interesting to me as well is, do you remember who won that race in 1992?
No.
Do you remember that picture of the father coming
yes,
to the son?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
It's just a beautiful picture, and it's a picture of God's faithfulness yeah. to us. So may I encourage all of our listeners today, please increase your hope. How do you increase your hope? You increase your hope by knowing the character of God. First of all, by believing God is good. No matter how bad your situation may be, God's working everything together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And then also God is faithful, that he is there with us, getting us to the finish line. We will finish this race because he's with us.
All right, in our last segment, the third one.
God is at work.
So stay tuned.
We're going to see how God is at work in this last segment. And no matter what may be going on in our lives, in our hope, we believe God is at work. Philippians 1:6 will be the verse we look at. He who began the good work will be faithful to complete it. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back. And we do believe that God is the shepherd of our souls. We don't have that understanding much in our culture because we live in a very urban culture, most of us. But in rural societies, especially during Jesus' day, shepherding was very common. And a shepherd always cared for his sheep. Interestingly, he could have 100 sheep and each one was named. And when he called out the name of the one sheep, that sheep's head would pop up, because the shepherd's voice was known by the sheep.
The shepherd is good. The shepherd is faithful.
And the shepherd is at work no matter what may be going on. The shepherd's the protector of the against the predators. The shepherd is the one who takes the lice and the thorns out of the wool of the sheep. Yeah. He's the one who binds up their wounds, or if they fall down, he's the one that puts them on his shoulders and carries them home.
Yes.
So he is a good shepherd. And if you believe that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that I know all of my needs will be met. Which leads to this last point, Ed, I wanted to make today. If you want to increase hope in your life amidst this pandemic, amidst all the racial tensions, amidst all the problems we're going to experience in the next 3 months with the presidential election, all the tensions and strife that are going to be there, increase your hope by believing that God is good, God is faithful, and the last one is God is at work. That no matter what may be going on, God is at work. Philippians 1:6, he who began the good work will be faithful to complete it. God is working in all of the strife and conflict that's going on around us, all the difficulties within our own hearts. He's somehow at work, working again, all things together for good. If we'll just cling to that and believe that, I think over time, in hope, you'll see that very reality taking place. Interestingly, in Romans 8:28, the verse right after Romans 8:29, right after 8:28, where Paul says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says that the purpose of all of the stuff that's going on in our lives is to conform us to the image of Jesus. God wants to deepen us in our love for him. Oftentimes, difficulties are the only way that we can deepen our faith in him. So you get back to a phrase that isn't biblical, but it's very commonplace. When bad things happen to you, you can either become bitter or better. But that's what you're really saying here. If you allow the pain and difficulties to get you bitter, then you aren't going to be used at all. Hope will decrease in your life. But if you really believe this pain can force you into looking more and more like the compassionate Jesus, who cares for other people, loves other people, then we become better. We become more and more like him, which is the goal that God has for all of our lives. So when we're asked the question, well, what's God's goal for me? What does God want for my life? Here's the answer. He wants to conform you to the image of Jesus. He wants you daily to look more and more like Jesus. He wants you to live more and more like Jesus. He wants you to be a love machine and work for nobody but God himself.
Because he created us out of his own image and likeness.
And he is perfect love. So he pours perfect love into our hearts in the image of Jesus. And then Jesus lives through us and we are conformed to his image to be his people on this planet.
And how many people live on the planet? And he is at work for all of us.
And can you believe what this world would look like if we had 6-7 billion people all loving one another?
Well, that's heaven.
Isn't that the goal?
Isn't that heaven?
It's called the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And Jesus' first message was about the kingdom of God. If Jesus is the king sitting on the throne of your heart, and he's the king of kings and lord of lords, then his very life then lives through you. But you've got to make the decision to kick yourself off the throne and to say, nope, not going to live that way anymore. That's called repentance. And then invite the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to live on the throne of your heart. And then allow your life to have his life flow through you and let his love conquer hate. Let his love give you hope in this world.
So the three aspects from today's show.
If you want to increase your hope, dear friends, understand the character of God. Who is God? Well, first of all, he is good. Trust him. Secondly, he is faithful. He made a promise to you to keep you and abide in you. He will. And finally, to believe that God is at work. He is somehow working through all of this mess for all of his purposes, his glory, and indeed your good. And whenever he can kick off selfishness from the throne of our heart and then live through us with his love, he's conquered a great purpose in our world. So, dear friends, may I invite all of you to continue to trust God amidst these very difficult times he is working. Would you also remember our friends in Beirut, Lebanon? They have gone through a massive explosion. They have experienced turmoil and trials like few others on the face of this planet. So please remember them. I have dear friends who live there, and they're going through crisis financially, food-wise, all kinds of suffering. So please remember them, especially this week as you pray together. And Ed, let's move toward a time of prayer. I've heard our listeners really enjoy this time when I try to pray for all that's going on in their lives. Let's pray together. Well, Daddy, that's what I call you every week because you are my daddy. In heaven, holy is your name. You're set apart. You're different. You're unlike any other, but you're a daddy, intimate and close in every possible way. I pray that your kingdom would come to this world and your will would be done on this earth. I pray that hatred and strife, which doesn't exist in heaven, would come to this earth. I pray that disease and turmoil, which don't exist in heaven, would come to this earth. I pray where hatred doesn't exist in heaven, love would come to this earth. I pray your kingdom in heaven would come to this earth. And I pray you'd supply everyone's daily bread, whatever they need. We can't look to tomorrow, Lord, because tomorrow may not come. But we ask today that you give us this day our daily bread. Whatever that might be, if it's food or finances or friendship, whatever it might be, that you would give us this day our daily bread. And lead us away from temptation. Lead us by your Holy Spirit away from those places where we can get entrapped in difficulties, trauma, temptations, trials, and turmoil. Lead us away from those places. But Lord, should we have gotten ensnared in a place where we shouldn't have, deliver us from that evil. Give us your life, your hope, your beauty, and your passion. For you know, Lord, the truth is yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. We rest in that perfect glory, and we know that somehow you're overseeing the difficulties and trials we're facing. I pray the public schools will open up soon. I pray you'll find a cure for the COVID disease soon. I pray, Lord, that people in families that feel entrapped and are learning how to love one another anew because they're so close to one another would love with such a depth and profound ability that their children would see it, but they would also be able to love more deeply, not only in their own family, but this world that's in desperate need of that love. And finally, Daddy in heaven, I just pray that you would use all of our lives for good because you are good. That we could continue to trust in your faithfulness because you're faithful to us. And you're at work, Lord. We trust you. We believe that. And the sun has come up this morning. We believe there's hope. We look forward to a great day. I pray this in your name. Amen.